Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Paul Reinig. He wishes to help people to feel better about themselves and their life. And I think he works on the basis that historically humanity has held two illusions that have had dire consequences on their ability to love unconditionally. One is that we are separate from God, and secondly, that we are flawed at birth. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Welcome. Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate you having me on the show today.
Well, it's great. I'm looking forward to it. Would that introduction be a fair comment on what you're trying to do? And perhaps you might tell our listeners to open it up. What effect on your thinking your 23 years with the Moonies had, which I would add for our listeners' benefit, you left 13 years ago, because that was a very long time to formulate some opinions, I guess, or experiences that you had.
Indeed. Actually, your introduction was perfect. And yes, those two illusions have had dire consequences, because when we believe that we're separate from a God or a source or however you want to call it, then you feel that you're a victim to that, and that puts you in this place of always trying to somehow find a way to be approved. And that's what ultimately got me into the Moonies, because when I got out of Catholicism, which I grew up in and went through parochial schools, I had a very, very strong fear of God. Absolutely was in trepidation that I was going to go to hell, because every time I looked at my life, I felt that I just wasn't good enough, that there was nothing I could do that would make me worthy to get in those pearly gates, the later when I die. So that concept that this God outside of me drove me into, when I found the Moonies and I went to a workshop and I was being told the Moon is the second coming of Christ, it's like, well, guess what? This is what I've got to do, because this is what God wants me to do. And that thinking was prevalent in my life, went on, as you said, for 23 years. That flawed at birth concept as well, that makes it very challenging. So during those 23 years, I pushed myself very hard. Didn't think that I was ever really working hard enough, because I was never really getting a lot of result, not the kind of success Moon wanted me to be getting. And so that always made me feel worthless. And whenever we'd have a chance to go before Moon, which in my case, I was one of his state leaders here in the States, I got to go once a month and see him and have to report what's going on in the state. Well, I always had very little to report, so I'd feel, sort of in trepidation before him as well. So it was a very rough go time for me. And whenever my heart would try to nudge me to, think about potentially doing other things, well, the mind just wouldn't have it, because, again, the belief system that this is what God wants me to do.
Right.
So that's what made it challenging for me, was that I could never listen to my heart. Because the mind, I allowed the mind to completely dominate my life. I've since, Mike, come to realize that, in fact, I'm not my mind, that I'm a divine being having a human experience, and my mind is just simply a tool that I can use to support that which my soul is pulling me or encouraging me or inspiring me to do. But that's been a very hard one for me, because I allowed my mind to dominate for so many years that even to this day, it continues to want to try to do that. So while I know I'm not my mind, my mind wants to, begs to differ with me at times. And so I have a lot to say about what I've developed in terms of helping people with this very situation, where their mind tends to be constantly giving them, a hard time.
Mm. So what was it that led you to believe that you were not separate from God?
Let me backtrack a little bit. In order to get out of the Moonies, it really took a great deal of external things going on. I mean, there was things going on in Moon's family that just didn't look good. It didn't help me any in my belief, you know, things with his family and so on. And then meanwhile, I was just so much wanting to do something, even if it was for Moon, I wanted to do something that I was excited about rather than the programs that he would have us plugging into. So I kept wanting to go into broadcasting, which is something I'd always wanted to do when I was a kid, but I was never getting the approval. Well, finally, after I went through seminary and got this degree in religious education, he sent the entire class to Russia. I knew that I just couldn't stay in Russia, so I sort of disunited and went back to the States and got a degree in broadcasting. That wasn't the end, but that was the beginning of the end. It took me about 4 years later to finally put my foot down because, you know, it was really a process. But once I got out, I started discovering a lot of other stuff going on out that I was just so blind to. You know, Neil Donald Walsh and his Conversations with God and all this. And I was reading everything I could get my hands on. And this started helping me to become aware that, in fact, I am a divine being. And, you know, it just sort of slowly sank into me that this is all really true. I mean, I really felt it within my being, all of the spiritual stuff that I was exposing myself to. And it was quite a breath of fresh air, to say the least.
Right. Now, some religions obviously believe that we are birthed in sin. We are already sinners. And that is one of the illusions you've referred to, that we are flawed at birth. So if people believe that, how do you suggest that they overcome that type of thinking? I mean, what would turn the corner, so to say, that they could set that aside?
Okay, well, I have labeled something. I don't think it's my term, but I use a term called aspects, emotional aspects, to be more precise. These are what I call, these are like parts of us that that get triggered, and we find ourselves doing things that we don't necessarily like. And it would be those moments that we would look at ourselves and feel, okay, well, this, because we were taught, this is just part of my flawed nature. You know, the original sin made me like this. And of course, if you're into the a lot of the religions that believe in a devil and all that, which Moon certainly did, then you feel that you're sort of in a day-to-day struggle with dealing with the devil. Now, not everyone thinks of it in those terms in their mind all the time, but because they are religious on some level, and let's face it, Mike, there isn't a soul out there who has a religious background that doesn't absolutely want somehow to make sure they're going to be okay with God one day when they die. So there's a part of everyone that, you know, let's say somebody ticks you off and you fly off the handle, and then afterwards you kind of regret that. You feel bad and you feel guilty because you feel like you've done something not just to hurt that person, but ultimately you're not looking that good in the eyes of God, you see? And so you want to do something to deal with that. So I started realizing that these parts of me that would get triggered like this were what I call emotional aspects. They're not who I am, but they're parts of me that I created along the way. And I don't know about your listeners or you, but I'm a believer in past lives. So I believe that throughout a variety of past lives, I created a number of emotional aspects that in any given to explain what an emotional aspect is, let's just say you're in a situation that's somewhat traumatic and you just freak out, you panic, or however you experience, you might get angry, or you might just get depressed, whatever it is. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to get picked on a lot by kids on the playground, and I'd always get really angry. Well, I didn't know that I was a divine being at that time, that inside me, there's actually this deep, loving compassion and unconditional love. I had no idea. I hadn't experienced that from my parents, and the nuns at school certainly weren't showing me it. So I didn't know that. But had I known that, I could have actually taken time to tap into that real part of me, which is really the only real part that we are, and given that compassion to this hurting part of me, when those kids were picking on me, you see. So this is what I've come to realize is that these emotional aspects that I created along the way, whether this lifetime or any others, they're coming back. And really what life on planet Earth is about, actually, is particularly at this time, as we're rapidly approaching 2012, and, you know, all the whatever the prophecies that go along with that, this is a time when all the emotional aspects in humans are wanting to come back because they want to be brought into integration. Because when I was a kid and I got picked on and I didn't know what to do, I created those hurt feelings and then I pushed them away. And they sort of go off in my psyche someplace. And they just hang out there. And that we all do this. But somewhere along the way, something comes along and re-triggers those. And that's because those aspects are energetically connected to us because we're the creator. It's basically just energy that's sort of out there in the dimensions, loosely doing whatever they're doing. But it's an energy that's connected directly to us because we created it. And that energy wants to be released. It wants to be freed to be integrated, is the word I use, in back within its creator. So a person can do that if they understand that they are a divine being and they start taking time to cultivate a relationship with that divine part of them, which is a very compassionate, tender, loving, caring, patient part. Every one of us has that part. And no one, you know, would deny that if you're around those that you love, if you're a parent and you have a child, there's moments, even with your lover, if you're married or if you have a significant other, there are moments when you feel that amazing love towards this other. The truth is that love is who you are. And if you understood that and were willing to take the time to tap into that, then when moments of triggering come up and the aspects are presenting themselves to you wanting to come home, you take the time to connect to that compassionate part of you, even when you're in that emotion, and you bring your compassion to that emotion. And I've had an enormous sense of experiences over the last 4 or 5 years that, I mean, I from sobbing to intense trepidation to bitter anger and everything in between, even depression, sadness, loneliness, all of it. And whenever that stuff's there, I immediately come back to my compassion. I talk to that part of me, explain that I understand. I know what you're going through. I realize that I created you. At one time, this was serving to me. At the time, I thought I needed, you know, to create this. But now everything's going to, we don't have to go there. I love you. I can take care of you. I will be there for you. Everything's going to work out. I don't necessarily know how. I just know it's going to be okay. And I'll tell you what, Mike, that has made them, I'm 180 degrees different person today sitting here talking to you than I was even just 4 years ago because of training myself and taking time to do this.
That's wonderful. And I was saying passing, I certainly do believe in reincarnation. I can't believe that life has any real purpose if we just had a one-off experience. Anyway, so getting back to the emotional aspects, it doesn't mean, presumably, that emotions are wrong. It's just when we apply the wrong ones to a situation where maybe we could use the word we should be calm or we should recognize the real self in somebody else as we would ourselves. So does that make any sense? Does that sound correct?
It does. Now, one thing I have come to realize, which basically goes against the grain of our upbringing again, is that it's true that there is no wrong in when these emotions come up, but it is also true that because there's no wrong, those emotions need to be experienced. In other words, yes, I'm in this angering moment. It would behoove me perhaps to find a calm part of me, but it also, believe it or not, you can actually find both. In other words, when I'm extremely angry or sometimes I think sadness takes over me at times, and I just feel like sobbing. But when I'm feeling this way, there's this enormous compassion that comes swelling up when I call it forth, because I know that that's me, and that I've taken time to develop that relationship. So even if I'm angry, I can find this compassion, talk to the anger, and allow those angry feelings just to be. What I'm saying is, it doesn't help any to just push them off while we're trying to find that calm place. Because if there's any hint of non-acceptance of all, any kind of hint whatsoever, then nothing's achieved by the coming into the calm place. If you push those emotions away and you come back to your calm place and you're in your calm and you're feeling fine, you didn't really do anything with that emotion. You didn't integrate it. You just pushed it off. It's going to come back. But when you allow yourself to be in that emotion and you're okay with it, you completely 100% accept it and you honor it because you're the creator of it. Whatever it was that triggered it is not the creator. Whatever it was that triggered it is actually a gift that's walked right into your world to help bring these aspects home. You know, they wouldn't come home if they're not triggered. So thank God that whatever that is triggering it. Now it's my responsibility, because I created that emotion, to sit with it and to embrace it, but at the same time, to let it know that I am that I am. I'm the creator and I am the divine being and it's going to be okay. You don't have to be angry. There's no reason to be angry anymore, because I'm here. I love you, you know, and actually there's four tools that I developed to deal with my aspects that just made an enormous difference that I can explain, you know, if you'd like.
Right. So you've indicated that the ultimate aim is to be able to live your life in a condition of unconditional love. But is that possible for people to reach that point when they're in a world that's full of duality with so much negativity? And maybe you walk around any corner and something's sort of liable to jump out on you when you're not expecting it. I mean, can we really achieve that level now, do you think?
Well, if you take a look at how many ascended masters there are, then you'd right away say it is a challenge. You know, we've been coming around and around and we haven't really obtained that state yet. So the answer to your question is, it's not something that's necessarily going to happen overnight. And that's also given the fact that we don't really know what kind of emotional aspects that we've created throughout our historical past, you know. So I don't particularly like the word karma, but if you bring in this concept that we do carry with us the stuff that we've created in past lives and in this life as well, there is a part of us that does need to resolve those parts because we did create them. But I do believe, Mike, that we're living in a time today when, in fact, the divine, the collective divine, since, you know, theoretically we are all one, this collective divine wants to meld with the human race. So humanity's being called forth to allow, on an individual, very personal level, for the divine to come in and meld with you. And with me, and with everyone, really. And this is precisely actually why it does kind of look like the world's going to hell in a handbasket, sort of. I mean, things are pretty intense out there. But it's happening because we've collectively agreed to it. We've agreed because the system and the way that we've lived historically just doesn't serve us any longer. It really doesn't. So we're allowing it to break down before our very eyes. And of course, in the midst of us, that's triggering our stress and our emotions. Fantastic. That gives us a chance to bring our aspects home. In the midst of bringing our aspects home, Mike, that's when your unconditional love begins to be cultivated and developed. So if you're just beginning to cultivate it, then yeah, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. You might, if you're used to being triggered, but as you learn to bring these aspects home, they no longer need to act out. You know, they become, they find this safe part of you, then they sort of, they're okay. It's like a mother hen bringing her chicks home. And once they come home, they feel safe in there. They're safe. They don't really need to act out. In this way, then, you're not going to create circumstances outside of you that are going to trigger them because they're, you've brought them home. So, yes, there may be a lot of stuff going on out there, but you're not necessarily going to create a situation in which you're going to find yourself in the middle of it once you've taken time to bring your aspects home.
Okay, now, just moving on to a slightly different aspect. You have asked the question of people if they struggle with being emotionally triggered by certain people or situations that they find themselves in. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. But you've apparently answered that by asking if people understand the law of attraction. Now, can you explain how that works for people to their advantage?
The law of attraction?
Yes.
The law of attraction is a little kind of a, it's not a simple thing to just grasp necessarily. I remember when this book, The Secret, came out, it became a huge bestseller. So you think about how many people actually bought that book. But yes, how many of those people who read that book do you think actually understand what that book was trying to say? And I, my personal contention is probably not a large handful. And it's because of the fact that we do carry a lot of emotional aspects, and that even though people are wanting to apply the idea, they're not getting around the fact that they've got emotional aspects that they have to find a way to bring home. So the law of attraction works, yes, to work for it to work in your favor. Again, the only way to do that is to start resolving these aspects. And this might be a good time for me to talk about my, what I call my four tools. I actually have six or seven, really, because actually the best tool of all is breathing. And that's not in my technical, you know, my four tools. Breathing isn't in that. But breathing is the beginning point for anyone. You take time and just breathe. And I'm not talking necessarily about meditating, you know, because meditation has this connotation to it of somehow trying to stop your thoughts or at least get out of your mind. But that's not a simple thing for people, for even myself. But just breathing and consciously breathing with your heart. So let's say you're sitting or you're laying in bed on your sofa or whatever, and you're breathing. As you're breathing, you're imagining that breath coming into your lungs and allowing that breath to go all the way down to your feet and out through your hands and all the way up through the top of your head. And you're seeing in your mind's eye this air coming through you. That's what I'm talking about. Breathing in a way that you're becoming consciously aware of that air coming into your body. So this then helps to get away from the mind doing all of its chatter, and you're focusing your energy on seeing that air coming into your body. So that's really the first and foremost number one tool. But once you've taken time to do that, and I highly recommend people to do that, 15 minutes a day, let's say, at least in the beginning, 10 minutes. Once you're starting to do that, what you're actually doing is, that's the beginning point of actually cultivating a relationship with who you really are. Because in the midst of your breathing, you're actually inviting your soul to come in and meld with you. That's what this breathing is actually doing. So your soul is going to take you up on that. And it's going to start coming in, and you're going to start tapping into some levels of compassion. So now, when you get up and you go out and about and things trigger you, my first tool when something triggers you, actually, is to simply say, yes, I allow this. I accept this. Whatever's going on right now is okay. So I'm being triggered. I'm angry, or something's making me feel bad, sad, or somebody's making me feel, I feel jealous, or, you know, whatever the emotion is, the first tool is acceptance. You say yes to it. This is okay. I'm okay. These feelings are all right. And as a matter of fact, I'm gonna revel in these feelings. I feel jealous right now. That doggone person, I feel, you know, how dare they, you know, and I feel these emotions, and it's okay. I'm okay with these emotions. I'm not going to push them away. I'm not going to judge them and say, I shouldn't be feeling this. I'm going to revel in them. That's the first tool, acceptance. The second tool, Mike, is then to take to the next step is thank you. And that what thank you is doing is it's bringing forth appreciation, which when you ask me the question of the law of attraction, the best way to get the law of attraction to be working in your favor is to start appreciating everything that's going on in your life, bar none. So the first tool was very important because you have to accept that it's okay to be feeling the way you're feeling. Now you appreciate not only what triggered it, but the fact that you've got these feelings. I appreciate this. I don't like it. Nobody says you have to like feeling angry or feeling jealous or feeling sad, but I accept it, I allow it, and I appreciate it. And if you start cultivating this appreciation, what you're actually doing is you're cultivating a relationship with the divine being that you are, because the divine being adores everything about you, appreciates everything about you, loves everything about you. So you're literally identifying with the divine by appreciating this part of you that's got this emotion. So that's the next tool. Now, once you're appreciating, you've said, thank you, I appreciate. The next tool is, I love you. Okay, what that's doing is it's deepening your identification with who you are. Because not only you're appreciating this jealousy or this anger or this sadness, but now you're telling that emotion, I love you, and you're going to be okay. And whatever it is you're feeling right now, you know, even if you have to wrap your arms around yourself, there were times when I was in the fetal position with my arms around myself sobbing. And I just kept telling this emotion that I was feeling and with all the tears rolling out, I love you, Paul. I love you. It's going to be okay. I love you. I adore you. These feelings, I understand them. I accept them. I allow them. And I love you. And I'll tell you what, even as I'm saying these words right now, I'm getting this incredible feeling of warmth coming over me because that's the divine. You see, the divine loves us unconditionally. And it truly wants us to know that. That part of us that's truly who we are wants us to know that it adores everything that we've ever done, everything that we are, bar none. Then the last tool in my four group of my tools is to then say and state very emphatically, I am that I am. Now, what you're doing with that tool is you're now even more deeply identifying with the I am. You not only have gone into appreciation, now you've gone into this compassion that you're now feeling, but now you're letting every part of you know, and I am the creator. So what I am that I am does, Mike, is that you're standing up in your own sovereignty as the divine being that you are. And you're letting, again, to use the analogy of the hen with all of its chicks, you're letting all of your chicks or your aspects know that you're the creator and that they're all going to be okay. And I've even gone as far as I send out what I call the sounding call to all my aspects, and I let them all know it's okay to come home. It's okay. I allow all of you to show up at my door because I'm home. I'm home here inside this house of me. And if you come to my door, I'm going to welcome you in. And I let them all know. And so when something comes along and triggers me and suddenly I find myself mad as a hornet, why should I be surprised? I've welcomed them all to come back. So I allow that, you see. I go through my four tools. As soon as I'm triggered, I immediately go right to my four tools. And these days, I get through all of them very quickly and find myself back in my peace very quickly.
Right. So could your four tools be summed up as helping someone to move from feeling unworthy to creating self-worth?
Absolutely. That has certainly been my case. I mean, I felt very unworthy most of my life. But now, and I'm not saying I'm completely over this feeling of unworthiness. I think that there's some very deep-seated, long-time friends that I've had with unworthiness. I have this picture of being one of those religious hermits in lifetimes where I was on my knees in sackcloth and ash, whipping myself, that sort of stuff. I know I have that sort of background. When you have those kind of aspects, and I created those, well, they want to come home too. So they continually pop up whenever they can, come in, want to come home. So it's been a challenge for me. But absolutely, I feel so much more worthy and that knowing who I am today than I, that I ever had before. So yes, to answer your question, these four tools certainly have contributed to helping me find my self-worth.
Right. So what is it at this time, which you refer to as an historical time, that is bringing about this melding of the divine with the human? Some people would call the immediate period, and you have mentioned 2012, as the time of ascension. What is your view about that?
Indeed, ascension is a good word. There's some that are calling it the new energy, which I identify with, because there's, if you can picture those things that you, a bubble making machine that makes bubbles. Mm-hmm. If you can picture that and you can see all these bubbles bubbling out of this machine, those bubbles are like potentials. And in this new energy time, which we've all collectively agreed to allow happen, humanity as a whole, all 7 billion of us, there's now these little bubbles of potential that are bubbling and they're floating around in the dimensions. And every one of those potentials is a solution to every problem that exists on the planet today. So what the new energy is about is us taking the responsibility to come back to who we are as the divine, which again is going through this process of integrating our aspects. The more aspects that get integrated, the more we feel connected to ourselves, the more in trust we become with ourselves. You start developing this self-trust that you just know that everything's going to be okay. You know that you can follow your heart, and that even though the mind sometimes screams bloody murder, that you just let your mind know, I understand, but I'm not going there with your mind, because I know that if I follow this, what I call the green light feeling that's coming from my heart, that it's going to be okay. You're cultivating this self-trust, you see. So in the new energy, when you've got that self-trust, now you're in a position for these bubbles of potential to come into your reality. And whatever it is that you personally, whatever your passion is, whatever it is, kinds of solutions that you're trying to find, suddenly they just pops right in there. And because it was there all along, but it required getting into that safe space in the now moment, where you're out of your mind and you're in your safe, sacred, divine part, and that's when these solutions can make their way into your world. And that, in fact, is how all of the drama that's going on out there in terms of the economy and, oh, God, I mean, I know you guys in England are going through, there's a lot of the stuff going on right now with these riots and so forth. I mean, it's worldwide. But the solutions to everything, even the oil crisis, eventually somebody's going to have to come up with a better way of transportation than just running on oil. Mm. All of it, all those bubbles are out there. And as we integrate our aspects and come into our self-trust, those bubbles are going to make their way into the right hands of the people who are, passionate, and it's all going to find its way. It's going to work itself out. That's where we're going. Mm.
I have heard some people use the expression that there is nothing new in the universe at all, that everything is there already. So I suppose when you're talking about these bubbles floating around, as you rightly said, there is an answer to everything.
Absolutely. The solution has always been there. I think we just haven't had the consciousness for it. Mm. I mean, a couple thousand years ago, a guy came in and tried to teach about love, and they threw him on a cross. Well, why did they do that? Because the consciousness was quite dense and just didn't grasp this whole anything about what he had to say. However, we all collectively wanted that individual to come forth because we were ready for something new. We weren't quite ready to digest what he had, you know, what he lived, but we wanted something, so we allowed that to come forth. And this is what I mean. Today, we are now ready to allow solutions to come forth that we were never, our consciousness just wasn't ready for before.
Right. Now, you speak of becoming a compassionate being. I would guess that that also carries with it a great degree of forgiveness, which would help people to find their real self, because I'm sure a lot of people harbour grudges, hatred, revenge, that type of thing. Would you agree that forgiveness is a very essential sort of ingredient in finding your true self?
I would agree, and I would have to make the emphasis, a very strong emphasis on forgiveness of yourself, because that's probably the hardest thing for humans. It's less challenging to forgive somebody else than it is to forgive yourself. And what I mean by that is, well, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, this whole original sin thing and just the fact that we don't feel worthy and that we somehow aren't, you know, we have to find a way to please God. And even though we've forgiven our neighbor, there's still some part of ourselves that might just go right on beating ourselves up with guilt and shame over something that we perceive as having been wrong. And that really is where the compassion has to come in for ourselves, giving ourselves the understanding that we did nothing wrong. You know, I think of the movie Good Will Hunting, you know that movie with Matt Damon and Robin Williams? If you don't know it, maybe some of your listeners do, that was the issue that Matt Damon's character, that Robin Williams as the psychologist was trying to tell him, that you didn't do anything wrong. You know, it's not your fault. We as a divine being, we're simply having an experience in the flesh, and we think that we're these unworthy beings who are doing all of these terrible things, but that's not the case. We're actually just having an experience, and we're having the experience of these various things. And if you understand that, you can then forgive yourself for the things that you did. Because, in fact, you are a beautiful, awesome person. And, you know, take some time to develop that beauty. Connect to that beauty. Connect to that compassion. Because it's inside. It's inside every person.
Right. So does that mean that if we are setting our sights on being a soul who can give unconditional love, that we have to avoid harming others, whether that be physical or by word?
Well, the more compassion that you find inside, the less you're being could ever even imagine harming another anyway. If there is a desire to harm another, and you haven't really cultivated a lot of compassion, then yes, absolutely, it is a value to realize that's not going to do you any good, and nor is, even if you don't harm the person, just going over and trying to get even with them or any of that. You know, that's not doing anybody any good. Again, coming back to taking responsibility inside. This is you know, a challenge for humans, because we haven't necessarily believed that when somebody comes along and makes us angry, that we're the reason for it. You know, that's just not something we've believed. Yes. I'm inviting your listeners to wrap their mind and heart around that concept. If it's very new to them, and start, start kind of looking at it from the angle that anything that's going on inside of me is simply something that I'm allowing. It's not anything that anybody else has triggered. I mean, nobody can make me angry. I'm the one that chooses to get angry.
Indeed, yeah. Now, Paul, can we move on to your new book, Apostle Paul, The Untold Story? Because I believe that story really illustrates a lot of what you're, if you like, teaching and getting people to understand. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about that story?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Apostle Paul, The Untold Story is something that just sort of came through. Well, I had a background when I was in the Moonies. I went through, Moon founded this seminary, which he eventually was able to get accredited with the state of New York. And so it literally became an accredited degree, a graduate degree in religious education. And so I went through that. So I had this background anyway of religious education. And when I got out of the Moonies, frankly, I really didn't have a lot of interest in pursuing using that degree, and I actually haven't used it, you know, in an academic setting. But I found that this Apostle Paul fascinated me because Christianity largely is Pauline Christianity. It's not really, people don't really follow what Jesus said. They follow what Paul said, because Paul was really the poster child for the early church, especially back in the 4th century when the Nicene Council occurred and the various books that were chosen to end up in the Bible. The mm-hmm. books that were chosen to end up there were the ones that supported the church's view at that time. And the church's view at that time was a need and a desire to control the masses. And so Paul's words fit right in with that, because Paul was all about controlling yourself. So I wrote Apostle Paul, The Untold Story, because I had an identification with Paul personally. I found out through some channelers that was one of my past lives. But I think it was even more than that. As a Moonie, I really identified with this heavy loathing nature. You know, Paul wrote things like, you know, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Imagine if your son came home and said that to you, you know, one day.
Yes, right.
You know, so, but here he's writing this. And mm-hmm. and so I identified with that wretched being that I thought I was. Mm. So I've written the book to help, if anybody's feeling incredibly unworthy and they have a Christian background, I think this book can help them tremendously to realize it's not about you. In fact, it just happens that we collectively agreed historically to allow Paul's word to become the central theme of Christianity. We all agreed to that. It was something that I guess we wanted to experience. We wanted to find out what it was like to control everything and to go out and make war to push this thought, which is basically what the church did. And this is what we wanted to do. It's just that it doesn't work today. And we don't want to do that any longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I highly recommend the book.
Yeah.
The book, by the way, is available on Amazon, both in the States and also in UK at the moment.
Fine. Now, I believe one of the main points here, which you've already referred to, is within the book and covered by the fact that you say Jesus revealed to the Apostle Paul that he, like Jesus, was also divine. And I think that's very important.
That is. And you know, that's one of the things in there that is part of the untold story, because that didn't come out. And a particular entity that I... that channeled to me indicated that there was a lot in Paul's heart that he was not able to reveal, because he just simply was too afraid. He was too afraid that he wouldn't be accepted and be persecuted, and that was one of them. When he had his blinding light experience and he was knocked off his horse, what actually occurred was that he saw his own divine nature. It wasn't just that he saw that Jesus was divine. He saw that his own divine nature, in fact, he realized that all humanity is part of this collective divine being. He saw all of this. But given the circumstances 2,000 years ago that he grew up in, and given the consciousness, he just, you know, later it was sort of like the light playing tricks on his eyes. He just couldn't, you know, it was just too much for him to fathom. And so he put on his thinking cap and went back to his mind, lulled over it for actually quite some time. He actually kind of went off for a while before he came out with his theory, the saved by the blood theology. He put a lot of thought into it, and eventually came up with that theory based on not being able to accept the fact that he personally was divine. He wanted to give Jesus that job, but he didn't want to take it on himself.
Right. Yes, I'm sure that must be a very interesting book. Now, I gather at some stage you had yet another book coming out. I don't know whether it's already in print, but it's called Heaven Is Now, a handbook for emotionally challenging times. Perhaps you'd like to say a little bit about that as well.
Yes, that's actually just what I consider to be a masterpiece, and that's only because I've just thoroughly enjoyed writing it. But it isn't yet out. I'm in the process of editing it at the moment. But, but for all practical purposes, it is done. It's basically it's has four sections, and the sections are divided up the first one is basically just coming from talking about where we're coming from, which brings up a bit of this stuff about Paul and where humanity's basically these two illusions that you brought up in the beginning. I go into through the various chapters. I discuss all of that in that first section. The second section basically deals with the tools, the four tools that I talked about.
Yes.
The third section is more, probably the larger bulk of the book. It's my personal experience with this whole awakening that we're all going through and the integration and the divine melding with us. And there's just an enormous amount of my own experiences that I've had in finding a way to get free. I talk about energy feeding and how we humans have historically had a need to feed on each other, and that's what has served us, but that now it's time to actually step into our sovereignty and no longer need to feed off of anyone. You don't need to feed off of anyone. You have everything you need inside yourself. So all of this is in the third section. The fourth section is actually for advanced people who are kind of advanced along the way in the integration process, and it's just kind of giving more deeper insights that I have gained in very recent times, actually, really in the last 6 months. So I hope to have that out. I'm not sure when, because I'm still editing it, and since I try to stay in the now moment, I don't try to make goals, because goals are just things that pull us towards a future thing, and it's just a future. So, but yes, I will be putting that out shortly. I have a couple audio recordings that I'd like to talk about, if I could.
By all means, yes.
I recorded and actually created an actual 2-CD set called Developing a Relationship with Yourself. Basically, the 2-CD set is only available through my website, but you can also download it as an MP3 if you prefer to do that rather than waiting for it. And that's, again, it's called Developing a Relationship with Yourself. It's a 2-CD set. It's probably about altogether between the 2 CDs, about an hour and a half. Just a wealth of again, insights on what I found that I had helped me in healing a number of these aspects. But that actually, really the real baby right now is my more recent MP3 recording. I haven't yet put it into a actual CD set that you can purchase, but downloadable off my website is what I call how to love yourself and bring home your actually it's how to accept yourself, how to accept yourself and bring home your aspects. And it's just about 2 hours of just an amazing amount of my own insights and experiences in bringing aspects home. And that's also available on my website, which, by the way, is masteringtruelove.com.
All right. I was obviously going to ask you to give out your website. Now, I gather that you also have written over 50 articles that can be read on your blog, and you say some are also published on the eSign articles website. You invite people, I gather, to register your email address, their email address with you, and you put them on your email list so that they can be informed of any new programs, products or services. So I think that's very interesting. And just to add to it, you have more videos available on Facebook, and you can be followed on Twitter, and you have a link to that on your website. So any other comment regarding that list of things that are available to people?
Yes, just my MasteringTrueLove.com website, there's a toolbar up in the right-hand corner. That's where you're going to find links to all of these. Yes, I do have over 50 articles on a blog. I use WordPress as my blog, but the link to it is there. I do have on Facebook, yes, I have a Facebook page called Mastering True Love. So if you're on Facebook, just type in Mastering True Love in the search and it'll take you right there. And I've got, as a matter of fact, right before this show, I just put up another. So I've got now 6 videos up there. One of them is of me dancing with some guitar music that I played. But 5 of them are me giving some short, roughly 5 to 10 minutes insights on these things I'm talking about. And they're all, you know, you take a look at those and get a feel for me and get a, you know, you can feel into my energy as well, certainly being able to watch me on a video. And do have a look at my website because there's just an enormous amount of stuff on there as well. I'm available as a spiritual coach, as a speaker, and just love helping people. So
I think that's wonderful. It's been very interesting to hear your thoughts and about your experiences so far. We're almost reaching the end of the program. I think there's possibly a couple of minutes left. Have you got any particular point or message you would like to pass over at this stage?
Mike, it's just been an incredibly deep honor for me to be able to have this chance to share on your show and get this information out to your listeners. In closing, I would just simply say that there's nothing that that you ever have done that was wrong. In fact, there really isn't any right or wrong. We're divine beings having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And if there's any commitment there is to make it all for yourself, it's to take the time to cultivate through the breath a safe and sacred space within yourself that is full of compassion. When you start doing that, you're also going to cultivate self-trust. And as you learn to trust yourself, you're going to find that any issues that you've got, the solutions will make their way into your reality. They may come from outside, but they come into your reality because you have cultivated a space for them to come in.
Right. So if people are trying hard to reach these levels of understanding of their real self, if they do fall down at any time, they shouldn't allow that to put themselves off. They should just treat that as part of the experience and still carry on with a lot of determination, I guess.
Exactly. Beating yourself up doesn't really do any good. If you find yourself beating yourself up, now it's not going to do any good to beat yourself up for having beaten yourself up. So better to just, oh, there I go again, take a deep breath and come back down into that place inside where you know is compassionate. And remind yourself that everything's going to be okay, that you didn't do anything wrong.
That's great, Paul. Thank you very much. Time's flown by, and as I said, it's very interesting to hear about your experiences. Wish you every success with your books. That gives me an opportunity to tell you, friends, that my guest next week will be Patricia McGiven, and she's the author of a book called Angel Baby, Messages from Miscarried and Other Lost Babies. And I've read part of the book. I can assure you it's extremely interesting. And in part, she does speak from her own experiences. So I'm sure that's a little bit more unusual. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Thank you.